Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segreto, and this is Franchise Today. Today, my guest is Scott Lehrer, Vice President of U.S. and International Development at the International Franchise Association. Today, Scott and I will be discussing the state of franchising, the state of the IFA, upcoming IFA events and programs, as well as the goings-on at the recent International Franchise Expo in Washington, D.C. I'd like to take a moment and thank Rhonda Sanderson, founder, president, and CEO over at Sanderson & Associates, for being my guest on last week's show. As you may recall, Rhonda and I discussed integrating social media with current PR programs. In case you missed the show, it is available on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/Franchise Today Show. I highly recommend you listen to that show. Over the last few weeks, Franchise Today, or actually over the next few weeks, Franchise Today will enter the legal world of franchising as we'll be discussing issues relating to financial performance representations, franchise advisory councils, trademark infringement, and much, much more. Please be sure to keep an eye open online for more details. And if you're a franchise attorney or a franchise consultant really interested in franchise legal matters, please drop me a line at segreto.paul@gmail.com because I would love to have you as a guest on one of these episodes of Franchise Today. As the franchise community is well aware, the IFA promotes franchise business networks in most major cities throughout the United States. Well, as I've just relocated my home and office to San Antonio, the Alamo City, I finalized an agreement to host the San Antonio-Austin Franchise Business Network. Our first meeting will be in July. I'm real excited about the opportunity to meet all within San Antonio and Austin franchise communities. As well with personal contacts in Mexico and Central and South America, I'm encouraged by preliminary interest from franchisors in these regions to participate as well in our quarterly meetings. Exciting indeed. I'd like to thank Paul Rocchio and others at the IFA for their continued confidence and look forward to establishing San Antonio and Austin as major areas where franchise intelligence and influence shines bright. Certainly stay tuned for more details. This week on the Franchise Essentials site over at www.fmdpro.com, I discussed social responsibility. You know, within the LinkedIn franchise groups, we continue to see discussions about social media, and there's great interest in what still appears to be the unknown. With fundamental questions being asked and basics being discussed, there's still a level of exploration and discovery going on, and yes, there's also uncertainty as well. But there are also discussions about how to utilize social media better, more effectively, and more efficiently. Many are exploring ways to expand their social media reach into franchise marketing and lead generation, while others are determining how it can help drive business to franchise location, and still others are looking into improving system-wide communication, support, and training through the many different facets of social media. Certainly, it seems the franchise community is embracing social media more and more each day. You know, discussions have also centered around social media guidelines, policies, and procedures. Who's allowed to do what is often a repeated question. Other questions touch upon Facebook fan pages, Twitter, types of posts, information to be shared, and continue all the way through to crisis management. All are very important topics of discussion, and all must be addressed prior to launching a social media program. So that being said, it's essential that an overall strategy be developed that addresses these questions, as well as establish goals and objectives of utilizing social media within your organization. Brian Solis, globally recognized as one of the most original and most prominent thought leaders in social media, is very insightful as to how organizations should embrace social media. In his recent book, Engage, A Complete Guide for Brands and Businesses to Build, Cultivate, and Measure Success in the New Web, he shares that insight. Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, investor, entrepreneur, and chairman at HDNet, is also quoted as saying, "It's no longer of an era of business as usual. Executives and entrepreneurs must embrace new media in order to not only compete for the future, but for mind share, market share, and ultimately relevance. Engage helps you engage. Without it, you're competing for second place. So in Chapter 17 of Engage, Defining the Rules of Engagement, I really believe Solis truly delivers the message and addresses many of the underlying questions that I've outlined. At the very least, with respect to these questions, Solis provides what is in essence an outline of what's being considered as businesses take the next step within social media. He goes on to write, please remember these words. Perhaps the biggest mistakes committed by businesses, personalities, and brands in social media occur when people jump into social networks blindly without establishing guidelines, a plan of action, a sense of what people are seeking and how and why they communicate, an understanding of where people are congregating, a definition of what they represent, and how they will personify the brand online and the goals and objectives and metrics associated with that participation. You know, everything starts with education and the instruction of policies to protect individuals and brands. In addition to setting guidelines and regulations for how and when employees, and in our case, franchisees, should and shouldn't engage online when it relates to the company, we must teach our spokespersons, our ambassadors, and advocates how to leverage the immediacy, extent, and potential of these powerful social media tools. Communities will follow by example. He goes on to say, holding informal and infrequent workshops and publishing internal guidelines for self-consumption and interpretation is not nearly enough to satisfy the substantial requirements for an in-depth comprehension of the scenarios, circumstances, objectives, hazards, and nuances associated with engagement, influence, and community building. This is more than publishing, and it's far more important than empowering employees, and again, in our case, franchisees, with the ability to chat our line. It's our responsibility to contribute to the increase of a significant tuned and strategic signal with a high ratio to noise. I assure you, in that doing so, you will earn a place among the elite in the ranks of social, new, and emerging media practices within your organization. Fascinating book. A couple of weeks ago on Franchise Today, my guest BJ Emerson, Social Technology Officer over at Tasty Delight, mentioned social negligence. I had never heard that before. At the time, I thought it was a very powerful statement, and I was quite intrigued by its implications. But now that I've read Engage by Brian Solis, I truly understand what BJ was referring to, and now realize the power and magnitude of social negligence and social responsibility. So the book is Engaged by Brian Solis, and it's available online at Amazon.com and, of course, in bookstores near you. As I mentioned at the top of the show, today's guest is Scott Lair from the IFA. Scott has been with the International Franchise Association since 1990, where he's held a number of positions related to membership, marketing, advertising, and international development. Currently, as Vice President of U.S. and International Development, he's responsible for the recruitment and retention of franchisor, franchisee, and supplier members of the IFA, overseeing the advertising, internet, and the international affairs of the IFA. Scott previously held the position of Director of Marketing and Advertising with the IFA, where he was responsible for the management of all advertising sales and the publishing of IFA's Franchise Opportunities Guide, Franchising World Magazine, and www.franchise.org, which is the IFA's website. Scott, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you, Paul. I'm glad to participate with you today.
So where do we start? I know last week the International Franchise Expo was in Washington, D.C., and from the many photos I saw on Facebook, it seemed a good time was had by many. Remember, party is online photos last forever. Anyway, always great to see franchise professionals banding together, but looking at business at hand, Scott, what were some of the high points of the expo?
Well, first of all, let me give you just a few post-show facts from the event. First of all, it was the 19th annual International Franchise Expo, and of course, the IFA has been a sponsor of the International Franchise Expo since the very first one. And it's been held here in Washington, D.C. We had about 7,600 visitors total over the course of the 3 days. About 6,200 of those were from the U.S., and about 1,300 came from international markets. We actually had 60 total countries represented, and about 29 foreign delegations. So it was in fact an international event. For many of the listeners who've been there in the past, Friday is always heavier on the international groups, and so in talking with members and exhibitors, people were very happy with the response from the international visitors. And of course, we work with the U.S. Department of Commerce in bringing delegations from the various foreign markets. So total exhibitors from the event was 184 in terms of franchisors and a few suppliers. So again, it was a fantastic event where we have been sponsors of this event since the very beginning, and also work with MFE Expos on the West Coast Franchise Expo, which is held in Los Angeles each fall, and the Franchise Expo South, which is in Miami Beach each January. So again, a great event. In terms of some of the other, some of the highlights from the event, first of all, in addition to IFA being a sponsor, we had four other international associations there exhibiting, bringing some delegations and sponsoring and exhibiting at the event, including the Egyptian Franchise Development Association, the Franchising Association of India, the Philippines Franchise Association, and the Mexican Franchise Association. And again, those organizations all brought a number of franchisors to exhibit and get exposure into the U.S. market, and we're very happy with their participation. I won't really go into the details of all the various sessions. Just simply say that there was a number of conferences going on that basically educated prospective franchisees, current franchisors, and prospective franchisors. So we really do draw lots of people who are interested in franchising, either to own their own franchise business or to start their own franchise business by actually franchising their business. So it was very successful from the educational content as well. So in terms of highlights of some of the franchise companies, I will say this. I walked down the steps at about 7:30, quarter of eight that very first morning to the tunes of a band of high school students playing. I'm not sure it was a Journey song, but it was resonating throughout the entire exhibit hall, and it was a live broadcast from one of the local TV stations. But the company that they were profiling was School of Rock out of New Jersey, and it's business was a business that was what helped Jack Black become famous in the movie School of Rock. But it's essentially a franchise business that works with the franchisees work with local junior high and high school students and basically put rock bands together and teach music. And it's really a pretty fascinating franchise, and the students that we met with there were very sharp, very talented, and a great way to kick off the event itself.
Wow, very interesting. Kind of reminiscent of Clinton and Gore's campaign.
another one that really kind of jumped out at me, and I had met this gentleman actually about 3 months before, a guy named Alan Castleman, who's the president of 1-800-GOT-MOLD, and The interesting thing about that concept, Paul, is that they have dogs that have been trained to actually sniff out disease-causing molds in your homes, and they're basically launching their system here at the International Franchise Expo, and really a fascinating business, they had dogs with them. And we're kind of demonstrating how they do that sort of thing. But it's amazing some of the concepts and ideas that were available.
That is really fascinating. You know, I'm really intrigued about the groups coming over from the international markets as franchisors that are starting to look at the United States as part of their expansion strategy, as opposed to the opposite way of American franchisors looking at international markets. What type of concepts were being exhibited from international franchisors here in the States?
Well, of course, there's a few, and you're absolutely right, Paul. I mean, it's a trend that's been going on for probably 5 to 8 years, maybe even 10 years, and probably the group or the country that has had the most success here in the United States has been Australia by far. I don't have the exact numbers, but companies like Cartridge World and Aussie Petmobile and many others who have basically brought brands that were, you know, very successful in Australia to the United States. Of course, Cartridge World was there, and the interesting thing about Cartridge World is that while the business in Australia and worldwide is booming, their U.S. business has really taken off in the last few years, and so they actually created a dual headquarters here in San Francisco, California, for the entire company because there was so much action happening here in the United States. But an old friend of ours, Marcel Portman, who actually worked for the IFA for a number of years in international development, has recently started with their company, and he was there representing them from Latin America. But they were getting quite a bit of traction at their booth. Another new company which we just met at the expo was TopSnap, and it's a company that's got about 40 or 50 franchise locations in Australia, and they were here in Washington D.C. primarily to test out the market to see whether it made sense for them. And based on speaking with their executives, they're planning a full expansion here in the United States. And their concept is working with real estate agents. As and many of the listeners know, the real estate market here is a lot softer now. And so this business is offering professional quality photography services primarily for the real estate industry, and so they've been quite successful in Australia and are bringing that system here to the United States.
Interesting. That was one of the things as I was going back and forth with Paul Rocchio about the establishing a San Antonio Austin franchise business network here where I've relocated to in San Antonio. I've been speaking with a lot of Mexican, Central, and South American franchisors and would-be franchisors that have expressed a great deal of interest and a sincere interest in expanding their concepts here in the States and are very excited to participate in our quarterly meetings. So, and I also believe that with the 2014 World Cup and 2016 Summer Olympics in South America that franchising is really going to take off down there, but I think it'll strengthen the franchisors, and of course they're going to set their sights on the U.S. So that's just fascinating to hear. Plus, I'm also working with a master franchisor in Australia who is actually selling his business there and will be moving to the States, and we're actually launching U.S.-Canadian operations here in Austin. We hope that will take effect in 2011. So yes, Australia, South America, Asia, Europe, and it's fascinating times for franchising. I think we're heading in the right direction once again.
Fantastic. You know, another not so much a trend, but just something that we've been watching with one particular company, which I'm sure you're familiar with, Procter & Gamble. But they had the concept about 4 or 5 years ago to kind of relaunch some of the consumer brands that they have, and one of such companies which just launched at this International Franchise Expo was called Tide Dry Cleaners, and what the folks at Procter & Gamble have done, they've spun off a totally separate company that's franchising these great brands that we all know and love, and the first one that they launched was was Mr. Clean, and we all know that guy with the bald head and represents cleanliness and order and that sort of thing. And they are franchising a car wash business under Mr. Clean, and that launched about 2 years ago, and they just brought out their second brand, which is Tide Dry Cleaners. I didn't get to talk to them at the end of the show to see what the response was, but I mean, with the brand name recognition that these companies and brands have, we are sure that these brands, as they continue to roll them out, and they've got obviously hundreds of products that we all know, we're looking for great things from that company for years to come.
Yeah, that's a remarkable push with somebody like Procter & Gamble and Union Carbide and some of the big companies that have these well-established brand names, and as we know how important a brand name is in franchising, that's really going to help the growth. That's fabulous.
Yeah. I heard you mention the gentleman from Tasty Delight who was on your program last week. Of course, they were there, and they are always one of the highlights, especially among the IFA staff, because they have that great product and Tasty Delight. So we enjoyed that, and their booth was packed throughout the weekend. Offering a great tasting product, which is healthy as well. So we were glad to see them.
B.J. Emerson was on a couple of weeks ago, and he's just fascinating. I loved talking with him some at the IFA convention this past February, and always love connecting with him online, which we do quite a bit. Well, that's great. I'm glad the IFA event went off without a hitch. Do you have anything else to add regarding the IFA?
The one trend that we just keep seeing, and I'm just amazed at the statistics and the companies that keep coming out in this industry. And there was four companies represented from this category: senior care. We had Always Best Senior Services, Comfort Keepers, Senior Helpers, Seniors Helping Seniors. The non-medical and even the medical healthcare, in-home healthcare it's been a booming category for the past 8-10 years and just continues the growth, and I think it's just a testament to obviously demographics, but what people are doing with their loved ones these days. It's much better for the family and more economical to keep your loved ones, in your home or in their home. And obviously we're seeing the business just continue to grow, and we don't see it slowing down at all. So those four companies were represented at the IFE. And again, when we talk to people about industries that are hot, that always has to be on that list. So, senior care, I obviously Homestead Senior Care probably started that trend, about 15, 18 years ago, and it just keeps on going. So,
I was introduced to that segment of the industry not too long ago, doing a lot of social media work with Jonathan Martin over at Retired Home Services out of Toronto, and I've just been fascinated by the growth of that industry. So, yes, you're right on track, and I think it will obviously continue to boom for years to come. Any other industry segments that stand out?
We're seeing more interest in some of the other food products. Jürgen Fruss was there for the first time exhibiting in a long time. That's a company that has kind of in the early 90s yogurt wars, Jürgen Fruss was there, and they've come back with a vengeance with some great products. And again, we've seen a number of these dessert businesses come out over the past 2 or 3 years, and so we're looking to see some more growth in that field in the next couple of years as well.
I could see the headlines now: yogurt vengeance. That would be interesting. Well, Scott, I know there are a bunch of IFA programs and events coming up. including the IFA's regional franchise development seminars and emerging franchisor roundtables. There's the IFA's multi-unit franchise conference, the IFA legal symposium, the new U.S. pavilion program with MFV in four international markets in 2010. Can you elaborate on some that, you know, maybe there's some different things going on, maybe there's some exciting things and something we should be looking at these programs unlaunch through the rest of the year?
Great. Yeah, I will kind of cover them just quickly chronologically in terms of the ones that are starting to happen first. First, our regional development programs. This year there will be regional seminars in Dallas first on April 28th, and in June in Chicago, and September in Washington, and Tampa in October. But we're running programs in each of those cities in different topics. First, our franchise development seminar series, which we've been running for about 6 or 7 years, maybe even a little bit longer. But these are action-packed one-day seminars for franchise development professionals, put on by franchise development professionals on everything from lead generation to technology solutions for getting and sourcing leads to managing your lead flow and closing the sale, finance, really everything that's involved in the whole franchise development process. And we get local franchise development speakers to talk on these topics, and they're very interactive and have been a great source of information for our franchisor members. Of course, you know, if you go to the IFA convention, the rooms that are the most packed most of the times are the ones dealing with franchise sales and development. So we decided to bring these programs out to the markets where some of our younger, smaller members couldn't necessarily all be there. So this is a very popular program, and again, we're kicking off that on April 28th in Dallas. A new program that will be on the same dates, April, June, September, October, in these various markets, is our 2010 Emerging Franchisor Roundtables, and this was brought to us by a member had connected up with one of our staff to talk about their interest in being able to sit down with longtime franchisor leaders, you know, on a more intimate basis. And so these programs are really set up in a roundtable format for franchisors with less than 50 franchise units and have been franchising for less than 5 years. If you look at that segment, there's actually a fair number of franchisors in that category. And so we've kind of picked some of our top leaders to handle the topics such as operations, finance, sales, franchise relations, and legal. And literally anywhere from 10 to 20 people will be able to sit with these CEOs and talk intimately about these subjects. So we're really excited about this. Looks like the attendance is strong at the first two, and we're going to be working on those for the rest of the year. So that's the Emerging Franchisor Roundtables. And again, as part of the same group of seminars that are going on, we are again bringing back our legal roundtables for this year. And the primary focus of the legal roundtables is IFA's new FranGuard system, which I think maybe you might have had someone on to talk about the FranGuard system that we were launching
a little while ago. David French was on, I guess, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and it was a fascinating show. And I know I was exposed to the FranGuard program at the IFA convention, and I think it's a good program. I think it's going to take off well. It's definitely something that everyone needs, and David did a great job explaining some of the ins and outs about it. So, yeah, definitely we'll be looking forward to attending some of those legal symposiums about FranGuard in the future. I'm looking forward to it, definitely.
Good. And then, of course, our big legal program for the year is actually May 16 through 18 here in Washington, D.C. at the JW Marriott, our 43rd annual legal symposium. And that's we'll get somewhere between 600 and 800 legal professionals here in Washington, D.C., both inside counsel, outside counsel, business folks, CEOs, to really talk about the legal aspects of franchising. And again, it's one of our more popular programs, obviously. At the root of the whole franchise agreement is a legal document, and as we know, there are things that you have to pay attention to. So the legal symposium really addresses a lot of these issues, and so we're looking forward to hosting our legal community here in Washington, D.C. on May 16 through 18.
Yeah, as well, and let me throw a little plug in here. That's why during the month of May, Franchise Today, we'll be discussing legal issues within franchising as well, kind of piggyback those efforts and help promote the legal symposium. I had a great conversation the other day with Warren Lewis of Ackerman Centerfeed about his franchise seller's handbook, which I've also promoted on my site and did a video about it. And boy, there's been a lot of response to that. I don't know if you've seen that handbook.
He actually mailed it to me, and it looks great. I've just really started reading it, but it looks
certainly it doesn't circumvent the legal counsel, but it's a great guideline just for anybody in franchise sales and development to keep on their desk, because it's just fabulous. It really is, for such a small book to be so information packed and so concise. It speaks wonders about the thought that went into putting together such a great handbook. Then you also have the IFA's Multi-Unit Franchise Conference coming up, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is a brand new program for us. We have been actually doing some work with the folks with the International Shopping Center Association, ICSC, and the last couple years we've been doing some things at their event. They've been doing some things at our events, and we've been trying to figure out ways to work closer together on various programs. And so they actually came to us on this idea because they said, we've got lots of franchise, lots of multi-unit franchisees who are, obviously real estate intensive, whether it's food or hotel or, these guys come into ICSC, we would love to put some program together with you. So we got together and came up with the idea of this multi-unit franchise best practices conference. So it's going to be held May 23rd to 24th at the Las Vegas Hilton. And again, that's in conjunction with ICSC's Recon event, which is their large gathering of real estate professionals. They've been doing it in Las Vegas for many years. They've gotten a high of probably 60,000-70,000 people, and obviously the real estate industry is contracted a little bit, but we're really looking forward to. We've lined up some great speakers. Our format for most of the program is really a combination of a CEO or president of a franchise company along with one of their successful multi-unit franchisees, and the session was organized by Doc Cohen, who's former or past chair of the International Franchise Association and a multi-unit franchisee for Great American Cookies. And he put together a great group of people to get this program together. But our keynote speaker kicking off is John Luther, who's the executive chairman of Dunkin' Brands. And we'll be hearing from people like Aslam Khan, who's with Falcon Holdings. He currently owns about 250 Church's Chicken franchises. We're just over the course of 2 days, you're gonna hear and see and speak to lots of talented franchisors and franchisees. We've got the executive vice president and COO from McDonald's speaking, Tassabam Muntaz, who's a large multi-unit operator from Long John Silver's and A&W Restaurants. He'll be speaking with his CEO on various things. We've got David Barr, who's a Kentucky, a KFC and Taco Bell franchisee. So it just keeps on going, and we will actually take a break in the middle of one of the days to all go to the opening of ICSC. But both ICSC registrants can come to the IFA event, and the IFA registrants can go to the ICSC event. So it's really we try to kind of take the best of both programs and put them together, and I think we have a winner here. But again, it's the first time. You know, we've got a little over 100 people registered so far, with more coming in daily. So we're really excited about this new venture with ICSC.
Well, that's great, and you gotta love Doc Cohen. I'll tell you, Doc is one of a kind. I had the pleasure of talking with him some at a Franchise Business Network event in Houston that was out at ICED headquarters. I actually spoke at that event regarding social media, and everybody says, social media is for the youngsters and this, that, and the other thing, and there was Doc sitting in the front row taking notes. It was great. I'll tell you, he's a fascinating individual.
He's also pretty tech savvy too, and you should definitely try and get him on this program if you can.
Absolutely, that's a great idea. I will do so. What I don't know anything about this new U.S. Pavilion program.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, we have IFA has been working with MFE, as you know, on the International Franchise Expo, the West Coast Franchise Expo, and the Franchise Expo South for many years. We've had a long-term relationship with them. And they have in the past 5 or 6 years ventured out and started doing their own shows in other countries. They've been very successful in Mexico City, and in the UK with a franchise show. And so we got together with Tom Portizzi at MFE and said, we want to do more programs overseas, and you're doing some, and with our marketing expertise and your sales and operational excellence, let's see what we can do. So and again, IFA has done pavilions in various programs over the years, but we thought teaming up with an expert and professional in this community would make a lot of sense. So so far this year, we have put on a program. We've produced U.S. pavilions at the International Franchise Fair in Mexico City in early March. We did a U.S. pavilion at the Franchise Expo in Paris in mid-March, and we will be doing a U.S. pavilion at the Brazilian Franchise Association Franchising Expo in Sao Paulo in June 9, 10, 11, 12, and then plans for another in Milan, Italy in mid-October. So, and we're looking at other markets as well. We're looking at Hong Kong. We're looking at India for other events. But we're essentially just trying to help IFA members, get to these markets. And an easy way to be able to launch into a market is through a U.S. pavilion. So you're not necessarily lost in the middle of a big show, but you can kind of gather with other U.S. brands. Under a U.S. pavilion. So, with IFA and MFE doing this, and we're working very closely with the U.S. Department of Commerce and their U.S. Commercial Service. I don't know how much you know about those programs, but the U.S. government has commercial officers in many countries around the world trying to help U.S. companies export their products and services into these markets. So, these are taxpayer dollars, working for business in the United States, trying to bring companies and export services. So, we've been leveraging them and their expertise both, here in the United States and overseas. And they help drive traffic to the events, and they can put together groups of investors from their countries and get them connected with U.S. franchisors. So it's a win-win all around with IFA, MFE, and the U.S. Department of Commerce. So
absolutely, it seems like a very worthwhile program. International development obviously is definitely a big boom going on right now, and I think will continue. You know, as most know by now, IFA CEO and President Matt Shea is leaving the IFA. In your opinion, how will this affect the IFA and its members?
Well, you know, first of all, Matt is an extremely talented individual, and we are, you know, obviously very sorry to see him go. He's been a friend and a mentor to me, you know, since he came to IFA, and but you know, for those of your listeners who don't know, he has accepted a position at the National Retail Federation, which is a fantastic group here in Washington D.C. You know, a very large and powerful organization. You know, an organization that IFA has worked with on many coalitions over the years, and you know, we've had very strong relationships with them, and so it's you know, we look at it as kind of a compliment to IFA that an organization, you know, as large and successful as the National Retail Federation would, you know, come and you know, get our own CEO. So from the standpoint of, you know, we're actually really proud and looking forward to working closer with that organization in the future. In terms of IFA and moving forward, you know, first of all, you know, in terms of, you know, how we're operating, obviously Matt's here actually until the end of next week, I believe, and he's, you know, actively engaged with us, you know, on a daily basis. But, you know, there was some discussion with Ken Walker, who is the current chairman of the IFA, and you know, he was, you know, interested to talk with the various vice presidents about what we thought and what we should do related to, you know, ongoing business. And the fact is, you know Matt was very good at you know, giving us the room to do the things we need to do. And so the various vice presidents you know, all, you know, have our directives. We know what we're doing. We're all tied into the strategic plan, and so we're, you know, executing our plans on a daily basis, you know, serving the members. And so we, you know, in terms of how's it affecting the members, I don't think you're gonna see any, you know, degradation in member service or member value, that sort of thing. It is business as usual here. Meanwhile, Ken has put together a search committee that is focused on looking at, you know, candidates for the next president. And so, you know, I know that Ken and the search committee are taking this very seriously and looking at all the candidates, and will identify the right person. You know, the timeline is to have hopefully someone on board by mid to late June. That's the plan. And in the meantime, all the various vice presidents under Ken will continue to execute the IFA's strategic plan and do the day-to-day business. As you heard, you know, we've got lots of programs between now and then, so we all kind of know what we need to do, and we're just going about doing it. So,
right. And I'm sure even in Matt's new position, he's going to keep his eye on the IFA and always look out for the IFA's best interest and franchising best interest. And I do know the two associations work close together, so that'll be great. He'll be missed in some ways, but we'll see him, and he'll be very visible, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about the state of franchising. We talked about, you know, what's going on at the IFA. We talked about the IFE. We've come through a rather rough time, obviously, over the past couple of years. In your opinion, what condition has this period left the franchising industry, and what do we need to do in order to not only recover but to re-strengthen ourselves for the future?
Well, I mean, you know, and we've done a lot of studies, and we've spent money on looking at the economic outlook for franchise business, and just, you know, just briefly, you know, looking back at 2009, as you and many of the listeners on the program know, I mean, you know, 2009 was a tough year for many industries, and franchising certainly faced its challenges in 2009, and you know, we actually. We're we've been working with Friend Data, which is a research firm here in the U.S. And I'm sure you're familiar with their statistics, mm-hmm. but they actually tracked a decline of about 40% on the number of franchises that were able to get financing in 2009. So that had obviously a major impact on the growth of franchising. And you know, we commissioned PricewaterhouseCoopers to do a study, and which showed a loss of more than 400 jobs in 2009 in franchising. So, you know, we went about our business in 2009. We spent a lot of time on the Hill. We had IFA's then chair Dina Dwyer Owens, along with IFA's president Matt Shea. It's, you know, spoke before Congress a number of times related to the challenges that small businesses were taking. But primarily the main focus for us in 2009 and again in 2010 was helping our members, helping franchisors and franchisees find financing to run their businesses. I mean with the tightness in the credit markets and the market dropping so much and home equity being tight. I mean, those are really three sources for financing that prospective franchisees, draw from. And so it really put a hurting on many different industries during the year. And of course, there were plenty of people looking for businesses. They just didn't materialize because of the lack of financing. So,
sure, and I even know a number of franchisees that signed on the dotted line, paid their franchise fee with full vigor and ready to go, only to have the doors of financing slammed in their face. And I know some of them personally trying to recover from that and going down a different road for financing. It certainly made people get a little bit creative from a financing standpoint, for sure.
Yeah. Now, I mean, we commissioned PricewaterhouseCoopers actually the year prior, so we actually had some benchmarking data to be able to compare between 2009 and 2010. But according to our report, we're predicting marginal increases in establishments of about 2%. For 2010. Jobs, I mean, less than a 0.5% growth. I mean, I think, again, people are paying attention to who they're hiring, on the franchise side. And so that while the establishments are going to come back a couple of percent, the jobs are going to be lagging. And in terms of output from franchise businesses, about 2.8% growth, so again, moderate growth from the franchising community over the next year is really what we're predicting based on this PricewaterhouseCoopers study.
Well, as in any economic downturn, there's some shakeout in various industries, and I know within franchising we lost some franchise organizations or they were diminished size-wise. How has that affected the IFA in terms of membership and, of course, membership renewals and membership fees?
Well, just first the overall number. Surprisingly, in terms of total year-over-year revenue from 2000, from FY 2008 to 2009, we actually only dropped about 7% in terms of year-over-year revenue on membership. Now, you have to remember that, a good chunk of the IFA members are the larger, more established franchise companies. A good bit of the revenue from the organization comes from the larger, more established franchise companies. And in fact, in those times, they're the companies that can actually really pick up market share in these tough times because the smaller and younger companies are struggling. Now, if you've looked at our numbers over the past 5 years in terms of franchisors, we have picked up many new franchisor members. And, many of them were, below 100 units. As a matter of fact, many of them were below 50 units. And those were the companies that really took a hit in 2009. There were some that went out of business. There was a number that stopped franchising altogether. And some just simply, couldn't afford to pay membership dues. But, in terms of the actual impact on the organization, it wasn't that significant. But one thing that we've found actually really since October of 2009, it's like a light switch went back on in October of 2009. All of a sudden, you know, some of the companies that we'd been working with over the past couple of years, you know, trying to keep them involved in the organization, started calling us and saying, I really need to get back in the game. I need to relaunch my franchise program. And, you know, I think there was companies that were, you know, waiting on the sidelines a little bit, partially because they couldn't get deals done because of financing, and partly because they didn't have franchise sales leads either. So, but we have noticed a remarkable shift since fall of last year. And if you're I know you're at the IFA convention, so you saw there was a fair number of small to mid-sized companies coming back into the market. So, you know, again, 2009 was a tough year financially for IFA from the membership standpoint. But you know, overall being down about 7%, you know, we were obviously not happy to lose some of those companies, but we're in the process of getting them back and getting them, you know, back involved in the organization and helping them grow their businesses. So,
well, that's great. That's great to hear. I hate to see any lost business whatsoever. I know that's idealistic, but that just bothers me at any level within franchising. You know, it was great to see the various training and education sessions at the IFA convention packed to the gills. I mean, the ones, as you said earlier in the show, on franchise sales and development always seem to be the most crowded. But I was really pleased to see how crowded the ones on social media and social media technology, both in using social media from a franchise development standpoint or a brand marketing standpoint. I was real pleased to see a lot of those sessions packed as well. With social media, you know, fairly new on the board, can you give me a little insight into how IFA will continue to embrace social media as part of its overall programs, whether it be in training or internally? And I know there's a social media task force that was formed. Can you give me a little insight into that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, IFA's Vice President of Communications and Marketing, Elisa Harrison, is responsible for the social media task force, and so she has gathered a very smart group of people on that committee, and they're looking at ways to that the franchise community is using. And I know you yourself, Paul, are a real leader in social media, and I've used it very effectively in your business and really to help promote franchising. In terms of, you know, what IFA is doing, you will continue to see lots of programming from us, you know, whether it's at these development seminars that we're talking about, the Emerging Franchisor Program, the annual convention. We just had our first annual convention task force meeting for next year, and I know that will be a topic again for 2011 convention. And so we will continue to promote topics. We're trying to get as many feature articles in IFA's magazine, Franchising World, on the topic, because, you know, it's such a big thing for IFA members. We actually created a position, or actually a half of a position, for a current employee here at IFA, who is our advertising coordinator. We actually promoted her and gave her a title of social media manager, and so she's Andrea Moss, who's been with us for a couple of years and has really kind of taken hold of that area and is working with Elisa, you know, at IFA on this. Is we're of course on Twitter and Facebook, and we've got a number of LinkedIn groups, and of course we work with a number of other LinkedIn groups. And so we're trying to do whatever we can, you know, as the IFA staff, to really utilize the social media. And in fact, we're using these to promote our members whenever possible. Andrea is sending out, is tweeting on a daily basis, you know, new members and various things, and our advertising folks are using it. And I'm not sure if you're following David French and any of the other GR folks, but we've got, I know, 4 or 5 IFA staff that are fairly active on social media. I'm trying to get there, Paul, and I'm using you as my mentor for that. So hopefully you'll see some tweets from me in the near future. Again, programming wise for IFA, we're trying to give as much information and find the best practices and help educate members on what our really astute members are doing. We're trying to cover it in all media, whether it's print or online. We're doing as much as we can on the staff side, to use social media. But what we find is, as you said before, some of our members have some of the best and creative uses of social media. So we just are constantly trying to pay attention to what our members are doing and then take that information as best practices and feed that back to the membership as a whole. Because that's really the strength of what we can do is really learn what others are doing, and just make sure the rest of the association members are aware of those practices.
Right. Yeah. It's social media is just absolutely amazing. Usually we could take time evolving into something, but this is something that's moving so damn fast at times. It's hard to keep up with it, and I'm on it, 16, 18, 20 hours a day sometimes, especially with clients across international borders. It's just a remarkable tool and technology, and it is changing so much. And we do, as an industry, need to be careful in some things because, one of the things that I'm often preaching and talking with a lot of the franchise attorneys and franchisors about is, the potential of inadvertent earnings claims in something as simple as a tweet. So we need to understand that the information that goes out on the Internet is there forever, and we don't want to see it bite anybody where down the road. So it is something that is changing. But beyond that, it can be fun. I've seen David French on there. I've seen Paul Rocchio on there. It's great chatting back and forth. It's great for some quick messages, and instead of having to catch up on the phone and take time out of the day and schedule an appointment, I could see, if Paul's in Utah or David is, speaking up on the Hill, as long as they keep posting the way they do, it's great to be able to see what's going on without having to schedule time for an appointment to understand what's going on.
Paul's really brought the membership department along with his tweeting ability and is constantly bugging me as well. So,
so you do not have a Twitter account yet?
I actually have a Twitter account, so I'm following people, but I haven't posted yet. So, pardon me?
Is it at Scott Lair?
It's just Scott Lair.
Scott Lair. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we're everybody that's out there listening, and we usually have anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 people on demand over the weekend. Let's get Scott some activity on Twitter.
Now you're putting the pressure on me, Paul. Now I absolutely have to start tweeting. So okay.
I know you got Paul sitting there in the background someplace, and I'm going to tell him to go ahead and push you a little bit too. anyway, Scott. Anyway. Certainly let me know. I've made my share of mistakes on it, so I think I can give a little bit of advice on it.
Great. Good.
Well, I'm looking forward to working closely together with you guys, as I said, in the Franchise Business Network down here in San Antonio and Austin. There's some great things coming down the road. I'll be at some more events of the IFA. It was a long time between my time at IFA meeting.
Yeah,
I was heavily involved 15, 18 years ago, and it's been a big span, although I stayed in franchising. But I was glad to get back on with the IFA as a member, and the convention was great, and I really look forward to great things together.
We are thrilled to have you back and involved in the organization, Paul, and look forward to working with you in all these areas that we've talked about. but especially the FBN program down in San Antonio. So,
absolutely,
I'm sure it's going to be great. It's we've got about 30 cities right now that have active FBN programs, and it's a great way for folks to connect up at the local level. So,
absolutely. Well, Scott, I hate to cut you short, but time has flown by, and another franchise is coming to an end. Thank you for being my guest today. I really appreciate it. Maybe we can visit again in the near future and continue the conversation. Remember, this segment of Franchise Today will be available on demand shortly after the show at www.blogtalkradio.com/franchisetoday. I'm Paul Segretto, your host of Franchise Today. Thanks to all the loyal listeners. Have a great weekend, and please be safe.